Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers, season opening edition. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams every day, which now includes the Pacers right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and today, for your daily dose of Pacers info, we'll hit the latest news from the field house and take a quick look at the Dallas Mavericks. We'll also discuss some reasonable expectations for Miles Turner in his second season with the Pacers as his role expands. And finally, we'll hit on some of the NBA power rankings that have been published around the big ol' internet and see where the Pacers fit in. So don't forget, you can hit me up with any comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. Love to hear your opinion on my opinion, so please share. Now, the latest from the field house brings us a positive injury report with C.J. Miles and Aaron Brooks both practicing with the team on Tuesday, and Nate McMillan wouldn't say they are cleared to play yet. He will leave that up to the trainers after shoot-around on Wednesday, but all signs point to them being available, and they are not listed on the injury report. In fact, no one is listed on the injury report as of right now, so that would be fantastic if it held up until tip time tomorrow. So McMillan did mention that assuming Brooks and Miles were available, he would like to get them some limited minutes at least. So I would assume Miles and Glenn Robinson III may split the reserve wing minutes if that's the case, assuming that Robinson will be in the mix even with a healthy Miles. So that's one little dynamic that we'll have to see how it plays out here at the beginning of the season. McMillan mentioned that, you know, his team is really ready to play, ready to get on to the real games, excited for the practice and preseason camp to be over. He kind of passed over quickly a question about his intention to play a 10-man rotation, basically saying, hey, you know, we're gonna play. And if everybody's available, we'll play whoever we need to play to win the game. So kept it pretty simple there and wasn't committing to anything, which is definitely his prerogative as a coach. Got to pull the levers on the game as it's being played out, and I'm sure Nate will have no issues doing that. And as for Dallas, he mentioned that, you know, yes, they have a lot of new faces and it looks like a lot of changes, but they still have Rick Carlisle coaching and Dirk Nowitzki, so he thinks he has a pretty good idea of what to expect from the Mavericks, and that's a team that's going to be prepared and knows how to win and will be coming in to win. So they will need the Pacers' full attention. You know, this is definitely true. I mean, while the Pacers added some vets to the roster, the Mavs are a group of old heads now around a new young player in Harrison Barnes, who was their big free agent signing. Now, Barnes has been somewhat disappointing in the preseason, especially his outside shooting. So, you know, he's going to be knocking down everything against the Pacers at the Fieldhouse. But in that starting lineup right now, they have Dirk Nowitzki, Andrew Bogut, Darren Williams, and Wesley Matthews, who are all at least 30. So with all those vets, you know, the preseason was not, you know, utilized to its fullest to get everybody on the same page. A lot of players rested or didn't play heavy minutes. So they'll know what to do, though, come opening tip against the Pacers, and will definitely be a formidable team. You got to assume that the Pacers are going to want to use their strength, which will be running and making those older players get up and down the court and play a style that they don't want to play. As for the Mavs injury info, they have Quincy Acey and J.J. Barea listed as questionable. Devin Harris is not with the team due to a toe injury. So that right away makes the Mavs thin in the backcourt. Both reserve point guards are out. Seth Curry, reserve guard, will be critical, I guess, in the backcourt to keep that rotation going. Dwight Powell is probably the most formidable forward reserve. And then in the post, could see A.J. Hammonds, rookie out of Purdue. They also have a veteran big man, Salah Mejri, who has played some last year and is probably listed ahead of Hammonds in the depth chart. So I guess everyone will find out if Hammonds is part of that mix or not. He had a mixed bag in preseason, but would definitely be interesting to see him get in his first NBA game back home in Indiana. So, again, you know, while the Mavs will certainly have a game plan that Carlisle puts in place to utilize their strengths, the Pacers are going to have to keep those older players on the run and you know, force that thin depth that it appears the Mavs have right now to be forced into action and try and make a difference in the game. So, you know, one of the key matchups we'll see is the youth and quickness of Miles Turner against the veteran Guile in the middle with Andrew Bogut. So I wrote about managing Turner's expectations on IndyCornrows.com just because I know everyone is real excited about the young fella. I am among his biggest cheerleaders, there's no doubt. He's only 20. And that's why I always get stuck trying to, again, manage his expectations. Not to be a buzzkill, but, I mean, when you're 20 years old and still learning the NBA game, it's hard to expect the guy to come in and be a, you know, a number two option behind Paul George, which, you know, some people kind of hope he might be. I think he'll probably be more of a three or four option. Obviously, he's critical on the defensive end. And I don't think he'll have problems attracting blocks and rebounds if he's playing starters minutes. And certainly with that, you know, quick jumper that he can get off at any time, there's going to be games where he's unloading for 30-plus. He has that thing rolling. But, you know, again, he's 20 years old. Teams have seen him play. They have a book on him. They know tendencies. A guy like Andrew Bogut, when he's relatively healthy at the beginning of the year, is going to have a bag of tricks to throw at Turner, and it's just, you know, going to be a tough matchup. So what I did, I kind of was looking in at the numbers a little bit, trying to set some expectations that way. And if you look at the preseason games Turner played in, he averaged about 24 minutes, and in that time he had about 12 points and almost 7 rebounds per game. If you bump that up, you know, say 32 minutes, that could be 16-9, which seems somewhat reasonable, but in reality is really good. And so for a 20-year-old in the league playing heavy minutes, those would be great numbers. And so I kind of settled back. Let's say he averages 15 points and 8 rebounds, assuming all his health. stays with him, and you know, he's averaging over 30 minutes a game as a starter. So, you know, that seemed like a decent number to settle in on. I went back and looked at, you know, how many 20-year-olds have averaged 15 points and 8 rebounds per game over the history of the NBA, and the number is only 11 players. So among those players, we got Anthony Davis, quality 20-10 season. Shaquille O'Neal, no surprise there. He has the biggest numbers of anybody at age 20, with over 23 points and almost 14 rebounds a game. Dwight Howard was 16-12. Anthony Towns last year, 18-10. Chris Webber was about 17.5-9. Elton Brand burst on the scene, had a great season, 20-10. Kevin Garnett, 17-8. That kind of is about what we're looking at here for Turner. John Drew is the smallest guy on this list, and he was at 18.5 and almost 11 rebounds. Chris Bosh was 17 and almost 9 rebounds. Joe Smith, 15 points and little 8.7 rebounds. And then Antoine Walker, who was over 17 points and 9 rebounds. So that's a, you know, pretty strong big man list right there. You know, you take out John Drew, really, and even I guess Antoine Walker, I wouldn't call him a big man. The Shimmy Master was just a forward looking for a 4-point shot. So that's your group at 15-8. That's a group that Turner would be joining if he could put those numbers up. Now, if you did bump it up to 16-9, you know, you're removing Garnett, Joe Smith, and who else? Chris Bosh. So, you know, that and Joe Smith. So that would be, you know, an even tighter list that Turner could match. And I haven't even added blocks to the equation, but I have a feeling he's going to be averaging over 2 blocks a game if he can stay in there for at least 30 minutes. So keep those numbers in mind as you're following along with Turner's season this year, and realize that a game like this against the Mavericks with those veteran bigs that are going to present some different types of problems for Turner that aren't just that don't make it just a physical skill on skill matchup or times when he may struggle. So the great thing is it's going to be fun to watch, and obviously I hope he far exceeds my expectations here, and again stays healthy. And if he does stay healthy, I do feel confident he can do that. I know he feels confident that he can have a big role. You know, if he asked him if he wanted to be the number 2 guy behind Paul George, he'd say, absolutely, bring it on, I'm ready, let's go. So he's not afraid of high expectations. You know, he always claims that no one can have higher expectations of himself than he does. So he's not afraid to fail, basically, and he's ready to let it rip. But, you know, you got to keep those numbers in mind with Turner, and, you know, we'll be keeping tabs along the way and see where he fits in as the season rolls out and we start getting bigger and bigger sample size for his 20-year-old season, which will hopefully be a fun one. So let me take a minute to thank the Locked On Podcast Network for all the support, and make sure you're checking out Locked On Colts and Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, and also Locked On Mavericks in advance of the big opener. All great information, and every team is covered now with the NFL and NBA as the network is just booming around the internet. So we appreciate their support. So I want to move on now and hit on some NBA power rankings. Have you seen some of those power rankings? They're all over the NBA internet now. And I know Caitlin Cooper took a look at a few of them and has a good write-up on IndieCornrows.com. And it seems like there's kind of two camps with the Pacers. Some are overly bullish and others more bearish. And it kind of depends on where the focus is. Some who are really high on Paul George, others who really want to see him kind of back up what he did last year and be more consistent. Also, there's a lot of, you know, skepticism about the loss of defensive-minded players and how that will hurt the overall team, despite the fact they've added some offense. Of course, there's the factor of Nate McMillan and the effort to try and play faster and the lack of three-point shooting. You know, there's a few variables at play here, and it kind of depends on your perspective and how you view the experience the Pacers added as opposed to, you know, individual skill set per player. So I know that Number Fire had the Pacers ranked around 15 in the middle of the league in their projections, although they had them just above 500. Kevin Pelton at ESPN, who's a numbers maestro, has formulas that he uses to project wins and performance. And he, in using a couple different projections, had Pacers winning around 37 or 38, which is frightening. But I've seen those numbers below in the past on similar projections. You know, meanwhile, there's others like Mark Stein of ESPN and David Aldridge at NBA.com, who had the Pacers, you know, in the top 10, middle of the top 10 for the whole league, and really feel like they're going to be a team that comes together and can be one of the better teams in the East. I know I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast and his annual Over and Under show with Joe House, and both of the Bill Simmons and House were really high on the Pacers and made them a lock to beat their 45 win over. I think they had 45 on their listing. I think they had 45 or 46 as an over, but they both thought they would win more than 50 games. So that would be fantastic, and a lot of that had to do with the veteran players they have and the fact that Paul George is coming off a strong Olympic experience and has more of an alpha dog aura about him, and then, you know, freeing up Thad Young from his years playing on poor teams, and then having Al Jefferson as a guy only relied on to be a reserve. Those are some of the factors they were discussing that should add up for a positive Pacers season. So those are some of the things that people who are high on the Pacers believe, you know, that between Paul George and some of the vets coming together, that team dynamic will develop and produce a lot of wins. Now, you know, the numbers-centric approach has kind of always, over the last few years, minimized the Pacers' win projections, and it's not a real big surprise. You know, it seems, especially this year, it seems hard to use a formula of, you know, past statistics to project a team that has, you know, three new starters and five or six new rotation players. So, you know, you can use Jeff Teague's past numbers on both defense and offense in a formula, but it's hard to account for all of the, you know, the variables involved in Teague's case when he's playing for a new team with new teammates, playing for a new coach in a new system that the whole team is learning. And, you know, to me, you know, no matter how you account for all those variables, it really seems like it is not really worth the effort, especially when you're using past numbers. So that's the beauty of basketball. From day to day, you're not sure what team and or player is going to show up. And for me, that's a part of the game I love. You know, when you're relying on the numbers, it takes the emotion out of the game, which is my favorite part following the game. You know, that team dynamic, wading through success and failure, handling the big opportunities. When they arise, you know, throughout the season, there will be chances to win tight games, and you're trying to win more of those than you lose. And, you know, to me, that's what makes the NBA fantastic. And I can't wait to start following the Pacers. Next journey at the Fieldhouse on Wednesday night. So thanks for listening to the show today. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the team as the season begins. So please hit me up via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Also, you know, real excited about the podcast, so continue to spread the word as we continue to build this audience. And we'd love to have listeners involved. So if your company wants to reach men age 18 to 44, please shoot me an email at indycornrows@gmail.com. Our rates are reasonable, and I'd love to open up discussion with you. So, again, don't forget you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, you can subscribe to the pod on iTunes with all prior episodes available via both outlets. So please check them out. Okay, thanks again for listening. That's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.